about.
Happy New Year, everybody. Rodney on the Rock. See you on the new year.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. This is KROQ-FM Pasadena, owned and operated by Burbank Broadcasting Company. KROQ-FM operates on an assigned frequency of 106.7 megahertz with an effective radiated power of 25,000 watts horizontal and 25,000 watts vertical as authorized by the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to K-Rock in Stereo. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now...
Douchebag.
Asshole.
Hey, welcome back.
Happy New Year to you too, first of all.
Happy, that's what I meant. Happy New Year.
Why would you ask such a thing?
I'm just saying, how's the, you know.
There's never been.
That part of your, that part portion.
Where you landed on that pole.
Oh, you're way south of where, your concern is way south of where the injury was. The injury was up at the tailbone.
Oh.
Yeah, which is above all the butt stuff.
Okay. So. All right. It's above the butt stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's tailbone. Right. It's still pretty bruised, and it still hurts like a mother effer. Hey, it's only been 3 weeks, right?
That's a way to go through the holidays.
Exactly. Oh, the timing was insane. The timing was great. Welcome, kids, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Are we in stereo now? Is that what that guy said?
We're vertical and horizontal, too, which I did not know.
That is correct. I didn't hear Muggs in the background, did I? How is he still here?
My key card still works.
Nobody did Santa not get my letter? What happened?
It's funny. Did everybody check their key card just to go, oh, okay, it still works.
Well, Muggs said he can't get into his email, so he wondered if that's how they fire you at K-Rock, and I told him probably.
Yeah, that's probably true. He could be fired right now and just not know it.
They just haven't come in with his severance package. And by that, I mean a swift boot to the ass. Lisa, how was your vacation? We haven't seen you in a long time.
Vacation was good. I did have to creep back in here for 3 days because I didn't have quite enough to make it to the end.
And who was on you for that?
So Muggs was here with me.
Who would ever know, though, Lisa?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, unlike you guys, I have to have someone who fills in for me.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. So there are people.
So how boring was that?
Well, Muggs and I watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and we also watched people buying property in Alaska. That was pretty fun.
So you just came in the morning and just watched TV for 3 days?
Pretty much.
Way to blow us all away. That sounds like the best vacation ever.
But I went to Maui before that, so that was okay. It was great. I didn't even mind coming in for a few days. It's just not a big deal, so... It was all good.
See, and in my mind, I would just go, hey, just don't show up. Who's going to know?
I know.
How much traffic was there on those 3 days?
None.
Yeah.
There was none traffic.
So you should just record yourself
those
saying,
commercials.
None traffic, and then you go home.
I should just record the commercials and just play those.
Yes.
But it must seem like a vacation when you come in and you don't have to deal with our nonsense.
Totally.
So. Yeah.
It was fun.
Now, Kevin, you were in, I don't think I've ever met anyone who's been to the great country of Peru. Now, Omar, DJ Omar Khan, he gets a package from Peru about once a month. Something comes in the mail. But in terms of a person who's actually been on the ground, I don't think I've ever known anyone who's gone to Peru.
Yeah, that was awe.
How did you guys choose Peru? Because I've never even heard you mention it before.
One of our family members was very excited about Machu Picchu and has been for, 15 years. So they were like, let's go. And so it was a surprise. And we all went to Peru and hiked up to Machu Picchu, which is unbelievable.
Beautiful, right?
Incan ruins up there that they built like in the 1400s. And architects today look at it and go, not sure how they did that.
Wow.
Don't know how they did it then. Not positive how we could do it now.
Now, did you know where Peru was in Europe? I mean, is it over by Portugal? Do you have to look at a map?
You're joking because I thought Portugal was in Europe. But
Portugal is in Europe. You thought it was in South America.
It was in South America, right?
Right.
No, I did have to look at a map, though. I didn't know that it was on the Pacific side of South America. I didn't know that. I didn't know where.
How long is that flight?
9 hours. Not terrible.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have guessed further, actually. Huh. And you said something off air right as we were going on that was incredible for me to hear, which is that they don't have any stoplights or stop signs.
Or street identification. And I'm talking about the biggest city there, Lima, which has like 9 to 10 million people.
How do they?
There are no street signs. There are
Is everything just gridlocked all the time always?
Oh, no, they're moving. But there are a lot of accidents.
Yeah, I can imagine.
On the news every night there's accidents. Because basically you just get to an intersection and you see whoever else is there. And you either go ahead of them or behind them and you just sort of work it out. It's the weirdest system for the biggest city I've ever seen.
Yeah, that doesn't seem workable for a city that big. I mean, we have a lot of places in this country where it's a four-way stop.
Right.
And most people know, I guess a lot of people know, some don't, some just wing it, but a lot of people know that, you know, you just, it's whoever gets there first going around a clockwise.
It's whoever's most aggressive.
That's how it works in
Lima. It's just like, I'm going to go. And you either hit me or wait. It's weird. There's no sign, no identification, no yield, no even, you know, heads up that there's a four-way ahead, nothing.
Did you have trouble finding any of the tourist destinations that you wanted to get to?
No, I didn't
drive. Marked?
I didn't drive.
Oh, I see. You had the buses or something.
Yeah. Because there's no possible way.
No.
Although I would have really sort of liked it. And they are on their horns about 98% of the time.
Well, I would be too.
Yeah.
Look out for me.
There's dogs. There's people walking through the streets. It's mayhem.
Why do you suppose, I mean, they're certainly aware of how it's done in the rest of the world. Why do you suppose they think that way is better?
I don't know.
They probably just don't have the money. The government is probably not that organized.
But it's a city of 9 million.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd have
to. Would.
They'd have to have some type of organization.
That's just unbelievable.
Doesn't go into the streets at all.
Well, good times. Well, yeah. We'll hear how Ralph did. He'll be in here in just a couple of minutes, but it looks like everybody survived, which is not always a guarantee.
No.
That's true.
With our crew, but we're all back for 2015.
Very excited. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecher, shall we? Yeah, what's up? I got Ralph a gift this year from the Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop.
Oh, that's all nice.
Right. Sounds like a good gift.
Yeah.
Was it the ugly Christmas sweater?
It was not, no.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what it was. What matters is then they started sending me emails. Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 a day.
Right.
Eagles Pro Shop. So I don't really have any other use for the Eagles Pro Shop than that one time at Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at the bottom it says, if you'd like to get off this mailing list, and
you want to unsubscribe.
Little letters, and you hit this, and you type unsubscribe, and I did that, and the emails just kept coming.
Then you got 8 a day.
Then I did it again, and the emails kept coming, and I did it again, and they don't care. So now I'm permanently on the Eagles Pro Shop email list. So I'm going to try and get off today.
Okay.
Most of your email must now be either Philadelphia Eagles related or Matas Yahoo related.
Yeah, true.
You never could get off his list either.
Yeah. It's Matas Yahoo and the Eagles Pro Shop now. that's who sends me most of my email. We have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network talking.
Yes. A lot to talk about.
Talking about the NFL playoffs. Go.
Talking about how it's already rigged for the Cowboys. Why even play the rest of the games?
Go Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. The Super Bowl goes through Arizona. I forgot you've been saying that all season long.
Some guy tweeted, I bet Arizona Cardinals plus 79 yards. Because they only got 78 yards of total offense in an entire game.
Oh. Yeah, it was not good.
Which may have been an all-time record. Ben McKenzie will be on the show today talking about the series Gotham.
Awesome.
Love him.
Which has been so good. The fastest that you broke your New Year's resolution. It's always good because everybody comes up with their plan. Oh, this is going to be my New Year's resolution. This is going to be it. This is going to be the year. 2015 is going to be the year. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to do it. And then some people make it a day. Some people make it half a day. Some people make it an hour. It's really pretty much a disaster zone. Our little friend Brad Williams, comedian. Not in trouble, but causing trouble.
That's what he likes to do.
Proud of him.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him today. Find out how things are going. And we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com to catch us up on the celebrity news.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw the Kanye West song with Paul McCartney on keyboards.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah. McCartney doesn't sing on it. Does he, Bean? Did you hear it?
I mean, there's some background vocals going that we are led to believe is Sir Paul McCartney, but it could have been any generic studio musician, for as much as you can tell.
Isn't it awesome, though?
It seems like kind of a waste of a Beatle.
Isn't it awesome to have a Beatle and go, listen.
Here's a tambourine.
You can play the keyboard, but don't sing. That's awesome.
It's weird. That's Kanye's ego in a nutshell.
So all that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the first showbiz beat of the year next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the return of our friend Ralph Garman here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Woo!
Hey, R. Garman. How are your holidays, man?
Nuts. Just manic. Just crazy. Just
I know
silly.
You did some Babylon for New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah, I did that. And shot a couple scenes in a film called Samurai Cop 2.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Which was very exciting. But the majority of my vacation hasn't really been a vacation. It's been a work experience because one of the leads in Kevin Smith's new film, Yoga Hosers, got ill. And so Kevin asked me if I would step up and play one of the leads in the film.
And you said, no thanks.
I said, yes.
Okay.
And so I've been working on that for the past about week and a half and just wrapped my role this morning at 3 o'clock.
All right.
Dude.
So 3 hours ago.
Welcome back to K-Rock. Very happy to be here.
Nobody needs a vacation more than you do right now.
I'm going to have to take some time off. It's been crazy. But I did hang out and work with Johnny Depp all week, which is pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That's a good deal?
It's a real good deal.
Wow.
He is such a good dude, and we had such an amazing time, and it was very fun. I just wish they had worked my schedule a little differently.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's all. And you may hear my voice that I've been working all night long.
At one point, whether you were going to be late this morning?
Yes, yes. I said to them at around 2, I said, I need to be out of here at around 4:30. In order to get to my other job, I need to get 5 o'clock. If we push it, if I don't bother to take off my makeup or change my costume or whatever, 5 o'clock. But we got to be done. And so as I finished around quarter after 3, and Smith said, see, I told you, miracles can happen. Yeah. I said, just enough time for me not to be able to get any sleep between now and 5 o'clock.
A little too much. I think you should be calling his cell phone every half hour to make sure he's awake
said,
in sympathy.
He said, you go home to sleep. I'll just go into work. I'll just show up at K-Rock and do your job for you. And I said, I appreciate the offer, but I think the guys would probably rather have me show up.
Could you pick up your phone right now and text a certain Mr. Johnny Depp?
No, we did not exchange phone numbers, no. I guess, I mean, he was so kind and friendly and charming. We talked and hung out. But I guess if I had thought to do that, I could have. But I didn't think, like...
I wouldn't have thought that either.
I don't deserve to have his phone number. And what am I going to do with it if I ever get it? So I never say, hey, let's exchange info, Johnny. That never came up.
He doesn't have a bunch of people around the world that go, hey, well, how's it going? What you doing now?
Yeah. Look, he probably does. People probably do that, but yeah. I was not going to be that
all right.
guy. So he had to wrap up what he was doing because he's going to do a bunch of press for his new film Mordecai, and then he's got another Pirates of the Caribbean he's got in the pipeline. He's going to start filming that soon. So I probably won't see him again for about 6 months. He's going to be out of the country. But like again, I can't tell you what.
That's pretty cool.
Sweet, funny, charming, down to earth guy, and could not be more generous in terms of. Working with other actors, I mean, made everybody feel great. And his daughter's also in the film, and Kevin Smith's daughter's in the film, and we were all working together. And just terrific people. It was a great, great experience. So that was my holiday. It was not as much vacation time as I thought I was going to have, but you know, you got to take these opportunities when they present themselves.
You see these A-list celebrities, and you hope that they're that cool. Because I would guess Johnny Depp would be.
I was intimidated, as you can imagine. I was scared.
Of course.
S-less. First of all, because this is the biggest film role I've ever had by far. And then on top of it, to be working opposite Johnny Depp, it's very intimidating.
At any point did you drop, well, here's how I did it with Pacino.
No, because he did Donnie Brasco with Pacino.
All right, yeah. He can top all those.
He was hanging out with Pacino at Johnny's mom's birthday party was this week. And he said, yeah, I was just hanging out with Al last night. He came to my mom's birthday party. We were all hanging out together. So he has a different kind of relationship
very different
with
life.
Al Pacino than I do. So, no, I did not drop any names around the great Johnny Depp. But it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it was a great, great thing. And so I worked over the holiday a lot, but it was well worth it. It was a great, great experience.
Can we get Johnny Depp to do showbiz?
Don't think he's going to be up for that.
Right, here's Ralph Garman. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. So we'll talk more about it as the film gets closer to release. This year, 2015, it'll be out. It's called Yoga Hosers, and it's weird. And I play a very strange, odd character that Mr. Smith pretty much tailor-made for me. And good times.
Well, you said you were going to poison that actor, and that really worked out for you.
You want to see my haircut I got for the movie?
Yes, I do. Please. I can tell. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. All right.
That's insane.
Super short on each side.
Yeah,
you're going to be wearing a hat full time now.
Yeah. Keep that hat on.
I look like a lunatic.
Yeah. You sort of do.
As well I should. Let's talk about movies. The top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. No surprise. The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, still in number one. $21.9 million it made this weekend, making it number one. Into the Woods was second. Unbroken, The Woman in Black 2, Angel of Death, Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. Those were the top five movies. Then Annie came in at number six. The Imitation Game, Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, The Gambler, and Big Hero 6, rounding out your top 10 films at the box office. Speaking of The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, just passed the $500 million mark at the box office this week.
Just that?
So congratulations. It's $500 million for The Hobbit.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Won't surprise you guys, but I went to see that movie and I had no idea who any of the people are. I
mean, of course not.
I recognized them, but I didn't know like why this group would be after this and that group and what it was all
about. I surrendered after like the second one. It's a bunch of guys in beards and fur and axes. I don't know, and I don't care.
Okay, good.
Here's some interesting news. Alec Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria, are going to be parents once again. The 56-year-old Alec Baldwin is going to be a dad yet again. He announced the news by posting a picture on Instagram of him and his wife and their two dogs and their 16-month-old daughter, Carmen. And they announced that they're yet going to have another baby. So that's going to be one busy nanny.
Group.
And poor Dave, the king of Mexico in the other room, he's inconsolable. He's just sitting there sobbing.
What happened?
I don't know if you heard, but on New Year's Day, Paramore singer Hayley Williams got engaged.
Oh.
She's going to be marrying Chad Gilbert of the band Newfound Glory.
Damn, that girl is tight.
That grill is tight.
It's too bad because he had a real shot.
He did.
I really thought that was going to work out.
You know what we need to do? Get him on The Bachelor. Bachelor returns tonight, boys and girls. Woo! Tune in tomorrow for The Bachelor Report.
Please, there's been no conversation
about
that.
Oh, yeah, we're talking Bachelor.
Oh, let's don't.
Chris Sewell's the 33-year-old farmer from Iowa. You remember him from Andy Dorfman's season.
Of course.
Well, he's back, and tonight he meets 30 women.
No!
And I bet you two-thirds of them are bat-ass crazy.
That's how they cast it.
That's right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Deadmau5, he's 34 years old today. Actress January Jones, you know her from Mad Men, of course, is Betty Draper. She is 37. Bradley Cooper. Coop! He's 40. Singer Marilyn Manson. We just had him in here on the show before the holidays. 46 years old today. Actress Diane Keaton is 69 years old today. Actor Robert Duvall. He turns 84 years old. He's in great shape for 84.
Yeah, he really is.
And still keeps working. Very talented guy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Best Of. Let's go to another clip.
Nope. We're back. We're live for 2015, Kevin. This is in real time. This is happening right now. You can listen to K-Rock all this week, by the way, to win 2-day VIP passes to Shaun White's Air and Style. Remember when we had Mr. White on to announce that, coming to the Rose Bowl in February? Well, it's a pair of plus we'll also give you a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. Get all the details at KROQ.com. This is going to be awesome. We're going to be giving away tickets all week long to this, to see snowboarding and skiing and skating competitions and lots of music, including Diplo and Steve Aoki and Portugal the Man and so much more. Again, get your details at KROQ.com. When somebody is really sick and you know that there's a possibility that they are going to die, it's not a surprise when it happens, but it's still a shock the day that it occurs. You knew it was coming at some point, but yesterday when we woke up and heard these words from Hannah Storm on ESPN, I think it hit all of us like a punch in the stomach.
I have some very sad news to report to you this morning. Our colleague, our friend, and our inspiration, Stuart Scott, passed away earlier today.
He was a tremendous broadcaster. Lisa, you probably even know who Stuart Scott is. He was he was so famous, even though he was an ESPN reporter and newscaster, that he was parodied on Saturday Night Live for his style. But yeah, he's been over 20 years he's been on ESPN. He's the guy that you would always see handing the championship trophy to the winning basketball team in the NBA. Kevin, what do you remember about Stuart Scott? You've seen him your whole life.
Yeah, it seems like my whole – I can't remember a time before Stuart Scott. That's so bizarre.
And he really is a guy who changed sports broadcasting because he came in and he had such a an outspoken personality. He's the guy who came up with Booyah. Did you know that?
No.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
That's awesome.
He invented it?
That's where really? It came from, was from Stuart Scott.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was just a guy that so many people grew up with, watching him on SportsCenter and the various shows that he did, that everybody from Nicki Minaj to President Obama were giving their memories of Stuart Scott yesterday. And ESPN did a tremendous – he was only 49 years old, had cancer for 7 years, had fought it a number of times, and it always seemed like he beat it. And then it just came back and got him one last time. But ESPN did a real nice package on him yesterday that I have some highlights from it. And it'll give you an idea of how well-loved Stuart Scott was.
Three men, three baseball players, three friends.
Stuart's path through work and life changed in November 2007. While covering a Monday night game between the Steelers and Dolphins, he was forced to have an emergency appendectomy, and doctors discovered a tumor. He underwent two surgeries and months of chemotherapy and believed he'd beaten it. 4 years later, in 2011, the cancer returned. Stuart faced it again. And again it returned in January 2013. With each recurrence seemingly worse than the last, Stuart continued to fight.
One of the things he said during his illness is he doesn't know what stage he's at. One, two, three, four. And he doesn't want to know. He wants to live his life like anybody else. He wants to experience the joys, the ups, the downs, and so forth. He was determined, I think, not to let his illness define him.
In the midst of continued chemotherapy treatments and medication regimens, Stuart took to the gym to treat his body and his spirit through mixed martial arts and cross-training workouts.
Oh, good. I like it.
It was physical as well as symbolic, his way of continuing the battle. Through it all, he kept to working. Exhausted, but unyielding.
You'd see him in commercials, and I'd look over, and he'd be doing one of these. He's almost trying to catch a 30-second nap. And, you know, just killed me to see him like that. Because that wasn't the Stuart Scott that I know, that I worked with for so many years.
Isn't it amazing that he continued to work through all of those bouts of chemo, by the way?
Yeah. I don't know how he did it.
Never seen that, but it's supposed to destroy you, right? And make you sick and everything else?
So exhausted.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. And a lot of us saw the speech that he gave, and I think that's the part that's coming up in the ESPN package here next. A lot of people saw the speech that he gave at the ESPYs, where they gave him an award this past summer, and he so powerfully spoke about cancer, and he really helped so many other people who have been suffering with this disease.
And yet, when the red light came on, when he was on, Karen, the audience at home, I don't think could tell what Stuart was dealing with.
Sure would have made a lot more sense if I'd have stopped it before that part of the sentence.
Well, sure.
On July 16th, 2014, after 21 years on the air, Stuart was in a different role, not anchor, but inspiration.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor to present the 2014 Jimmy V Perseverance Award to Stuart Scott.
What few knew was that he'd been in the hospital for days just the week before, undergoing multiple surgeries. Determined to make the trip to Los Angeles for that night and that moment.
I knew that the week plus leading up to that night of the ESPYs that he was in bad shape. And they weren't sure if he was going to be able to make the trip, have the strength to make the trip. So I was scared. watching him walk up the steps because he was so thin. He didn't look like Stu anymore. But then I reminded myself, hello, who are you talking about here? This is Stuart. And he's not going to let this moment get away.
The speech was a signature. Raw and honest, powerful and indelible.
When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. I can't ever give up because I can't leave my daughters. My littlest angel is here, my 14-year-old. Sydney, come up here and give Dad a hug because I need one. I want to say thank you, ESPN. Thank you, ESPYs. Thank all of you. Have a great rest of your night and have a great rest of your life.
Yes, he had an impact on our business, but more importantly, my dear friend had an undeniable impact on those facing cancer, including myself. Thank you, Stu, for your bravery and stellar example. Thank you for being you, as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Which was another one of his famous signature phrases that he invented. That's Robin Roberts from ABC, who is herself a cancer survivor. But we lost Stuart Scott over the weekend. Great broadcaster, great human at just 49. Well, it's 2015. You think TMZ.com is still a thing?
Sure.
I think so, too. Hey, Harvey Levin. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing? Good.
How was your holiday? Do anything fun?
Yeah, I went away, but I got sick the very first day. Ever happened to you?
All right. Yeah, it's happened. It sucks. How long were you sick?
The entire trip.
Oh, dude.
Right.
Your body just doesn't know what to do when it's not working, I guess. It will not let you relax.
I know.
Crazy. Well, TMZ.com, of course, is the paper of record for all things. Well, all
it's
things all. There's nothing. But that's the expression. There's nothing that Harvey doesn't cover. And I don't even know about this Halle Berry incident at the airport. I haven't even heard about this yet, Harvey. What happened?
So Olivier Martinez, her husband, Halle and Nala, were coming back from some international trip yesterday. And there were a lot of paparazzi there, and they got real close to them. And the police even said they were way too close. And there was an airport employee there, and Olivier was holding the baby stroller.
It was a car seat, right?
It was a car seat, thanks.
Yeah.
It was an empty car seat. And somebody did something, and he pushed somebody against the wall with a stroller. Now, it happened to be an airport employee. And the airport employee said that he was injured, went to the hospital, filed a battery report. But literally 5 minutes ago, we just got video of what happened right before. And it looks like this airport employee was part of the crowd with paparazzi because he was taking pictures, too. It does change it some.
I got to tell you, Harvey, I watched the video, and I don't know how this kind of stuff doesn't happen more.
Yeah.
Because they started out, the security or whoever said, hey, they've got their kid with them, back up, everybody just... And they just descended. What are your rules at TMZ for the photographers? How close can they get? What's the...
Yeah, we tell them they cannot. I mean, our guys sign contracts. I mean, they're all on staff, and they say they can't chase. They're not allowed to be, you know, aggressive or intrusive. And, you know, what happens is, I mean, when you have a crush like that, there are really aggressive people out there. When you have a crush... sometimes it just happens. I mean, I remember when I was a reporter with O.J. Simpson, as intrusive as this seems, it was actually worse in that trial because I remember all of the reporters were kind of in a group, and it was almost like cattle. And when somebody walked down the street who was a witness in the stand, I mean, everybody just kind of descended, and they were 2 inches from the face of whoever it was.
Wow.
And, you know, the cameras were there. People were falling over. So, you know, what happens when you get in a pack like that kind of changes everything.
Sure.
And you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it when you see, you know, big news events where you see lots of cameras, even if it's, you know, traditional media. You see that kind of group psychology where everybody gets together, everybody's pushing and getting closer and closer and closer, and it just happens.
I understand. And at least in the case that you're talking about with the O.J. Simpson trial, at least there was news being made. But this is just people at an airport. I mean, what do you understand the appetite for pictures of a sweaty Halle Berry trying to get to or from a flight, Harvey?
I am perplexed by the – I mean, look, Halle Berry's a big star. But in terms of, you know, people who have, you know, a lot of stuff going on right now, like Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber – Hallie's not in the top 10 of those,
yeah.
Yet she always attracts this kind of interest. Now, I don't really understand it. I mean, I'm not saying that she's not a big star.
Right.
It's just weird to me. It is just weird to me.
And we talk about this all the time on our show, especially with Jennifer Aniston, who seems to be the number one paparazzi target.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. And Kevin and I have had this discussion so many times where we go, how can they put her on the cover of another magazine this week when she's been on 40 times already? And it's because...
It's so weird
that people still want to see another picture of Jennifer Aniston. She doesn't look any different than she did a week ago when you saw her.
And there's not that much going on, you know, in terms of, you know, she's engaged to this guy. She's been engaged to the guy for over a year. So that aside, what else is really interesting, aside from the fact that she's got a movie out, which is not with the paparazzi cover anyway?
Doesn't that pack of paparazzi, don't they all think, hey, I'm not getting an exclusive on this, so I'll just fire a couple of shots and move on? I mean,
I guess they sell it. I mean, it's not something that we put on, you know, the website much because, like you said, I mean, okay, here's a picture of Jennifer Aniston. We've seen those pictures.
Right.
So we don't do it much, and we don't do Halle much. And yet they always put these pictures, so somebody's buying these pictures.
Huh. Yep, exactly. Well, listen, head on over to TMZ.com today. You can see some Jay-Z and Beyonce vacation pictures. You can find out who in the Black Keys got hurt, and also Sarah Palin versus PETA is a very funny story. You got to check that out at TMZ.com. And look for the TMZ on the TV today, all over Channel 11, including TMZ Live airing at 4 p.m. and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs weekdays at 3 on the Reels channel. Harvey, great to talk to you. Happy New Year, my friend.
Same to you guys.
So New Year's Eve... surprise release from Kanye West shows up on the internet just out of the blue. No one knew he was working on it. Boom, dropped a song. Not quite as exciting as last year when Beyonce dropped a whole album. But Kanye coming out with a new song is always big news. And this one in particular caused a lot of people to have questions because he's working with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so. And I saw that and I thought, wow, what a weird thing for those two to sing a duet.
Very surprising for me. I thought the exact same thing is like Kanye West and Paul McCartney together. Like, it doesn't seem like their skill sets would intersect. And it's interesting, Kevin, that you would say sing a duet because we have a clip of this new song from Kanye. If you haven't heard it yet, it's called Only One. It's called Only One. I want you to listen closely for Paul McCartney's voice on the track.
You know, I never left you. Cause every road that leads to heaven's right beside you. So I can say, hello, my only one. Just like the morning sun, you keep on rising until the sky knows your name. Hello, my only one. Remember who you are. No, you're not perfect, but you're not your mistakes. Hey, hey, hey.
I thought Jay-Z said Auto-Tune was dead. What happened? Isn't he the king? Doesn't he rule?
15 years ago he said that,
and
it's still apparently alive. I didn't hear a lot of ex-Beatle Paul McCartney on that track.
Can you point out any?
I listened to it twice, and Paul doesn't really sing.
Well, what's up with that, Paul McCartney? Where are you on the new Kanye West song?
I'm all over the song.
Well, we listened to it. Granted, there's
I am in the background. I'm singing with Kanye.
But we can't hear you. What? Like, why have Paul McCartney come down to a session and then not mic him?
Well, the first thing that happened was, when I showed up at the recording studio, I thought it was going to be Adam West.
Oh.
And I'm a huge fan of Adam West.
Sure.
I liked the old Batman TV show. I thought it was really great.
Right.
And I show up to work with him, and there was a black guy there.
Right. Kanye West, one of those popular singer-entertainers in the world today.
All right. But I didn't really know who he was.
Okay.
So I was a bit embarrassed, and I said, all right, well, let's work on something.
Sure.
And he had these lyrics, and people say, my lyrics are bad. And his are all like, oh, you're dead, but you're alive, and I'm singing, and you're a kid, but you're not.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it is sort of like he's singing to his kid, but from his mom, dead mom's perspective.
Yeah, it's just a lot of words jammed into one line of music.
Right.
So I didn't really know what to do.
Okay.
Right us through on the old altar tune.
You're on the. So, in other words, when we are listening to that track and we're hearing Kanye and then the auto-tune background singers, that's where you are?
Yeah, because I didn't really want to be known.
Oh, I see. Because you didn't know what you were doing or with who.
I didn't know who the guy was.
Right.
So I thought, well, if I disguise myself a bit, then people won't know it's me.
Oh,
I can't picture what you would even sound like on auto-tune. That's just, it doesn't, it's not a match in my brain.
I like it so much, I wrote a whole song like that.
An auto-tune song?
Yeah. Okay. Here it is.
Yeah.
I am Paul McCartney. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who is Kanye West? Ringo. Used to play drums in a band that I was in. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Paul? Hey, Paul?
What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you're going to use the auto-tune to sort of hide who you are, maybe don't say, hey, it's Paul McCartney.
And I used to be in the Beatles.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:50.
Actor Ben McKenzie joins us later on today, the star of TV's Gotham. Also, Andrew Siciliano talks the weekend in the NFL. And our friend Brad Williams. A little bit of controversy over the weekend with Brad Williams. Kind of got the Oregon Ducks in trouble. So we'll get the story straight from the midget's mouth coming up right off the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Upskirt photos?
No.
No. I just assume with him it's upskirt photos.
No.
Yeah. I heard you guys talking to Paul McCartney. I heard Kevin hang up on Paul McCartney again.
Sure did. Yeah. I wish I hadn't. But.
Interestingly enough, they just released a list of the top 10 money-making tours for 2014.
Okay.
And his name is on that list. He was the ninth largest grossing tour of 2014. He played 32 shows in 2014.
Okay.
What do you think he made?
32 shows?
Yeah. 32 shows. What was his total for 32 shows?
I'll say $20 million.
That's a pretty good guess.
That's a pretty bad guess.
Really?
$30 million.
That's a pretty bad guess. $84.5 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow. For his 32 shows.
I need to be Paul McCartney.
Yes, you do.
Get on that, Kevin.
Get right on that. Here's your New Year's resolution, Kevin. Be more Paul McCartney.
Who I don't even like.
10th on that list was Bruno Mars. He made $84 million.
Are you Bruno Mars?
But he had played. He made $84 million over 76 shows. So it took him almost twice as many concerts to make about the same money as Paul McCartney made.
Is that because Paul's had such a long career and probably an older audience which can afford higher ticket prices?
I don't know whether they're older or younger, but they're paying more money for sure. Yeah. His ticket prices are higher, yes.
And okay. He might have also played a couple of stadiums in those dates as well, which is more tickets.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Number eight on the
list.
Jim Morrison didn't make the list this year. I caught his show last year. It was very, very dull. The Eagles were eighth on the list.
Oh, sure. They're perennials, aren't they?
Yeah, $86.5 million over 61 shows. Lady Gaga, seventh on the list, over $88 million for her 84 shows last year. Michael Bublé, sixth on the list. 103 shows he played, 103 dates. Michael Bublé played.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
No, Michael Bublé did not invent Booyah.
Oh.
He's a singer.
Okay.
And he made over $105 million last year.
And I haven't thought about Michael Bublé in years. The fact that he's still out there drawing that kind of crowd is a shock to me.
Yeah, and by the way, Bubble. His name's Bubble. Let's all stop kidding ourselves.
It's not Bublé?
No, it's not Bublé.
It is spelled Bubble.
His name's Michael Bubble.
Yeah.
You want to guess the top five?
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
No, he was touring. He made $75.
Wow.
It says here on the list. Not much at all. He's not in the top 10, that's for sure.
Flavor Flav
made $14.95. Played one show.
Doggy Dog.
Snoop, not on the list.
I'm going to go One Direction.
One Direction. Kevin with the number one.
Yes.
Wow.
The number one money-making tour of 2014.
That can't be a surprise to anybody, right?
They played 69 shows. Now, as Bean mentioned, these shows, you know, just because it's a date doesn't mean it's the same size. And they played stadiums over 2014. But 69 shows.
Wow, that's a lot fewer than I would have thought out of 365 days.
Fewer than a lot of people on this list. What do you think they made for over 69 shows? What was the total they took in for 69 performances?
$100 million.
$282.2 million.
Wow. God almighty.
Well, but they got to split it up a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. Split it up.
Split
sure,
up.
So there's pretty much nothing left.
That's right. Plus tax and rent on the limo.
All right, so 4-3-2-1 out there. Huh?
I mean, I have to guess Taylor Swift. She's got to be on that list.
Not
right?
on the list. Not on the list.
Yes.
Really?
Not on the list.
Yes.
That's kind of shocking.
Maybe she didn't turn it off.
Yes. Yes. We did it.
She did have the number one album of 2014.
Yeah, but so?
But she didn't.
All right, let's think. Who else was out there bringing in the big bucks, you guys?
All right.
Are these older acts, more classic rock acts?
Yes and no, modern and classic.
Like Springsteen, did he play much?
How about Springsteen?
He's not on the top 10. I don't know if he toured or not last year.
Okay.
But he's not on the list.
How about Motley Crue? And I only say them because they have a big farewell tour going on.
No Motley Crue.
Not on the list.
In the top 10.
Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake was second.
Oh, nice.
Second on the list. 103 shows, made $184.7 million.
Wow. Kanye.
Kanye not on the list.
Hmm. Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Jay-Z and Beyonce's combination tour was fifth on the list. They made $109 million over just 21 shows. They only did 21 performances and made over $109 million.
Yeah, they were playing a lot of stadiums, too.
How about Katy Perry?
Katy Perry, fourth on the
nice.
List. Whoa! Well done, Lisa. $153 million over 106 shows.
Wow.
And, of course, Katy Perry will also be the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl.
All right, how many do we have left?
You're just missing one. You're just missing number three.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne.
Not Ozzy Osbourne at all, no. Number three on the list is what you're missing.
It's Alice Cooper.
It's Alice Cooper with Sleigh Bells. Yes.
That is weird.
Absolutely. That's who it is. Alice Cooper with Sleigh Bells.
That is a surprise.
You know what? There's Sleigh Bells behind that clip. Stop using it.
It's Alice Cooper.
No, you don't get to use Alice Cooper and have Sleigh Bells.
Why does Alice Cooper have Sleigh Bells?
I don't know, but it's not a good piece of tape.
I will never stop using it now.
Who are we missing?
Does Britney count since she's in Vegas? Is
you know
that a
what?
Tour?
She does count, Lisa, but she's not on the list.
Okay.
5 Seconds of Summer.
5 Seconds of Summer, not on the list.
Good guess.
Come on.
Hi, this is Luther Vandross.
Where's his sleigh bells?
Rap, rock, pop.
Yeah, help us out.
Rock.
All right, rock.
Foo Fighters. No.
Shoot. And tour much, I guess.
I'll tell you something. This band only played 25 shows last year. Only 25 shows, and they were the third highest grossing act.
Pearl Jam.
No.
U2.
No.
I'm guessing Eagles? We're out. I feel like we're out. Did you see the Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's already on the list.
We talked about them. They were at number eight. Lisa. You're going to kick yourselves.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Gino Vanelli.
Yes, it was Gino Vanelli. Wow.
Hola, soy Gloria Estefan de Miami Sound Machine.
Yes. Who's the Miami Sound Machine?
I don't know.
The Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Rolling Stones made $165 million for just 25 shows.
And they've done that, like, for the last 25 years,
they sure
haven't they?
Have.
Oh, they go out on a farewell tour every year.
They just make nothing but money.
Obviously.
Should have thought of that. So, of course, the Rolling Stones. Stupid. I can't believe I guessed Gino Vanelli and not the Rolling Stones.
There's your money makers. Hey, speaking of 2015 and it's a new year, I'm going to save this list for next time.
Okay.
I'm going to do a list in an hour when we come back to the Showbiz Beat about the 10 things that the movie Back to the Future said we'd have by the year 2015.
Oh, interesting.
You know, Marty
nice.
McFly goes forward into the future in that movie to 2015.
I remember Hoverboard. That's the only
That's
thing.
That's one of the ones on the list. Okay. But we'll talk about the other ones when we come back in about an hour here on the Showbiz Beat. All Let's right. take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Deadmau5 is 34 years old today. Actress January Jones celebrates her 37th birthday. Bradley Cooper currently can be seen in American Sniper. He is 40 years old. Marilyn Manson's 46. Diane Keaton turns 69. And legendary actor Robert Duvall turns 84 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
It is Monday morning, and we are live on K-Rock all this week. Kevin DeBean Show is back, and your tickets for the Shaun White Aaron Style are back as well, February 21st and 22nd at the Rose Bowl. Plus, we'll throw in a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain, your chance to win coming up this hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
I got a private message from a direct message from Brad Williams, our friend,
yes.
Comedian Brad Williams, and he said you might want to talk to this guy. And there was a link, and it was to a TMZ sports story about Brad Williams.
Is that dangerously close to Brad talking to about himself in the third person?
Sort of.
Oh, this young comedian is so funny. You guys should have him on your show.
I think you guys would like him.
Hey, Brad, what's going on, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. In fact, Brad Williams wishes you a Happy New Year.
Good. Well, when you see Brad, you tell him right back at you.
I will.
So the Rose Bowl, speaking of the Rose Bowl, had their game, their college football game, like they do. And I guess America was happy that Oregon won because we all are supposed to hate FSU, right? That's kind of that's what we've decided to do here in this country now?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And that's because they got the rapist for a quarterback. That's why we hate FSU. So Oregon wins
allegedly,
big.
Allegedly, but yes.
Allegedly, right. Oregon wins real big, but there's a little bit of controversy surrounding the game. I want you to walk us through what happened, Brad.
Well, after the game, after Oregon won, when they were on the podium, the Oregon players started a chant. You know, the FSU chant is like a war chant. It's like an Indian thing, like, oh, like that.
Right.
And the Oregon players, in mocking Jameis Winston, started yelling out, no means no.
Where, Brad?
Well, a few days prior, the Oregon players went to the Hollywood Improv, and I was performing for them. And I did that joke. And so, yeah, they got that from me.
So you did a joke that with the punchline no means no about the FSU.
Right. Okay. I did the war chant, and as no means no, and it killed in the room. All the Oregon players loved it, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. And then I see front page on Fox News.
Oh, so
that,
you weren't watching the game. You didn't see it live.
No,
because that would have been so weird to hear a team chanting your joke.
Yes, it was very strange. I was just. And then, like, my Twitter started blowing up, and then I get a phone call from TMZ. And when you get a phone call from TMZ, you immediately, like, go through every bad thing you've done in the last 2 years. Like, oh, crap.
It's your mistake Rolodex.
Right. What did they find out about is what you're thinking.
Yes, exactly. And thankfully, it wasn't anything too bad. It was just they just wanted to know if that was my joke, and it was. So
that's funny. So when you tell the joke, I mean, was the joke just, hey, if Oregon wins, this is the chant they ought to do because of Jameis Winston? I mean, how did you set it up?
I believe the joke was Jameis Winston is a fantastic player. I don't know how you guys are going to stop him. The only way you could stop him is if you put a 120-pound white girl on the defensive line with big boobs. And then I said, yeah, he's kind of in trouble. They should change that chant to no means no. And then I did that, like I said, killed in the room.
That's funny.
And it was just for the Oregon players. There wasn't anyone else in the room. There was no cheerleaders.
Oh, I didn't realize it was just the team.
It was just the team. The Improv does it every year where they have a show for the teams. The night before, I had performed for Florida State.
You didn't give them a nifty chant.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I avoided that joke.
That's so weird. That's really strange that you're performing one night for Florida State and then the next night for Oregon.
Yeah. And it's also crazy because these are huge, like, you know, 300-pound offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and then me, 4'4", 75 pounds, soaking wet.
You can hold your own, dude.
I'm telling roast jokes to them.
That's awesome. That is funny. Now, did you hear, was there any kind of pushback against the Oregon players from anyone at the game in the media or either the program or anything like that? Did they get in any kind of trouble for the chant?
Well, I know ESPN ran with the story. One of their reporters, Jamel Hill, said that they should be, like, taken out for the national championship game. And the coach said that they would do some disciplinary action. I hope they're not taken out for the game because
they won't
they're
be.
Kids. They're kids. You know what I mean? And they were just saying a joke that they heard at a comedy club a few nights before. Also, they didn't do it like on camera. It was caught on a vine.
Oh, so I thought it sounded like that clip was part of the celebration or something. I figured it was on camera.
Yeah, well, like one of the reporters was vining it, and then the vine went by.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, so. I think it's awesome, Brad. Funny joke, and it's funny to see. I mean, like you said, in a million years, you never expected it would end up on the field at the Rose Bowl.
I think this should be a new thing for 2015. People should start chanting every one of your punchlines.
Just not during my shows before I get to them.
Yeah, that would kind of suck for you.
Wait, so I have a question for Bean, though, because I've been thinking about this for a while. There's going to be a Hall of Fame ceremony for you guys, right, when you go to the Hall of Fame?
That's right, in April in Las Vegas, right.
All right, so
no.
you have such a great respect for radio, but you hate pants. You only wear shorts. So what are you going to do at this ceremony? Are you going to wear shorts? Are you going to find a suit company that wears that makes suit shorts? What are you
going
to do?
He's going right leg shorts, left leg slacks.
I haven't really given it much thought, but this does seem like one of those occasions that it would be appropriate to wear long pants.
Do you own pants?
I think I have some on the top shelf in the closet somewhere.
Okay, well, at least, on the top shelf, I'll never get to them.
I got a little time to worry about it. Hey, Brad, we'll see you soon, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Congratulations to Justin Torres from Riverside. Just won tickets to Shaun White's Aaron Style, February 21 and 22 at the Rose Bowl, and a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. So check that out. Go to the website for more information.
Hey, we've got more tickets you can win coming up between 9 and 10 this morning. Ben McKenzie joins us next hour from Gotham, and Andrew Siciliano talks about whether it's official or not that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl based on what the refs have already decided. Maybe he's got some inside word that has already come down. But it certainly appears like it based on yesterday's roll.
Plus Rams, blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly. Hey, it was New Year's a couple of days ago, January 1st. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that means the start of a new regimen. It means the start of new habits. It means New Year's resolutions. This is the year. 2015 is the year. I'm finally going to get my S together and fill in the blank. It won't surprise you guys that the most popular New Year's resolution in America is lose weight.
Sure.
Yeah. Of course.
It's kind of hard to find somebody who, even if you don't think they need to lose weight, they don't think they need to lose weight.
Right.
Everybody believes they could lose a few pounds.
Nobody's saying, you know what, I could put on a few.
No.
Right. Nobody is saying that.
It's just not the case.
Exercising, quitting smoking, quitting drinking, get a new job, get out of debt. The usual resolutions for people are on the top of this list as well. But we are always fascinated with, you are committed to this New Year's resolution. I'm serious. I'm going to turn my life around, and it starts right now. And then you break it 8 minutes later.
Yeah.
Those are the stories that we love to hear when we come back to work in January at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for people who have already broken their New Year's resolutions, and we want to find what's the shortest time it took someone from when it chimed midnight on December 31st until you broke that New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Gaining or losing weight probably takes a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't really break that right away. But something like quitting smoking... Mm-hmm. That's almost impossible, and B, you know, easy to break an hour and a half in.
Right.
Mine is the same every single year, and I don't do it. I break my New Year's resolution every single year, and that's to have fewer moments with. Every year, this is the year that I'm not going to be in the top 10.
They do recommend you pick things that are achievable, Kevin.
Yes. You might as well say, I'm going to live on the moon, Kevin.
How dare you.
We've had great calls in the past in previous years at 1-800-520-1067. The ones I like the most are the ones where somebody decides they're never going to have sex with that person again.
Yeah, that doesn't work most of the time.
A lot of these resolutions, though, it's kind of a mistake. I mean, like, if you're going to say, I'm not going to drink anymore, don't make that resolution at a New Year's Eve party, right?
Right.
Give yourself that night to finish, I would think. Midnight is so arbitrary.
So you're saying start January 1st. That's where you run into trouble, though. That's where you run into trouble.
Well, everyone's hungover on January 1st. So
right.
If you're going to quit smoking...
And then you can't then because you're hungover.
Yeah, and you have a terrible headache, and that's going to help. And yeah, Or Hair of the Dog.
Sure. All right, let's. We'll take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. The shortest amount of time for you to break your New Year's resolution. But let's go around the room quick. Muggs, how about you? What do you got this year?
Well, much like Kevin, how he breaks his New Year's resolution every year, I break my New Year's resolution every day, and that's to lose weight.
Yeah, but here's the thing about you. You're not really serious about that. Like, you know in the back of your mind that needs to happen, but you don't sit down, have a talk with yourself, really focus, do you?
Until this past weekend, Kevin, I had that serious look at my life. And not only that, two little things I like to call stretch marks that are forming on the side of my right love handle.
Right.
That's a big motivator. And I did a body frame measurement last night that I found on the web. So you know it's good.
Sure.
But I'm a large frame 6'1 male.
Uh-huh.
And my weight should be range from 162 to 192. And I'm 200.
You weighed that in fourth grade.
Exactly. And right now I'm 240.
Well, that's more. That's more.
It's too big for my body frame and my height.
It looks good to me, though. It's pretty dead sexy.
And okay, but how does this work for you? Like, on January 1st comes around, and are you one of those people who says, clean slate, new page on the calendar, things are going to be different in Muggsville?
Yes.
Okay, so what was January 1st like for you? Did you sensibly eat and get some exercise?
God, no. I had pizza and watched football all day and laid on the couch. But on January 2nd, I did go on a three-mile hike, and that's where it all turned around for me.
Were you chasing an ice cream truck?
No.
Wait.
No.
Wait, where it all turned around. What does that mean? Are you on the right path now?
That got me motivated not to have fast food, which I eat every day of my life.
Yeah.
And just to eat cleaner and healthier.
Hey, Chip, we're going to need some fast food today.
So, do you feel like it's working?
Well, I don't see I feel my body feels better, but I'm not seeing, I'm not obviously going to see instant results.
No one's seeing those results.
No, but what I'm saying is today's already the 5th, though. So, like, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, you feel like you ate a little better?
I might have had some Del Taco on the 4th.
Right, less from you.
I love that.
All right.
Less from you.
Let's talk to Jaden real quick. He's on line 3. He's in Saugus. He'll get us going here at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Jaden.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
New Year's resolutions and how quickly were they broken? That's the topic on today's Kevin Abid Show. Tell us about your story.
Well, my New Year's resolution was to quit smoking pot. And, well, the day after, we got all our partying done on New Year's night. The day after, my buddies convinced me that night, I got a little drunk. They convinced me to smoke a joint.
Yeah.
And so I broke it the very second day.
Let me ask you a question, Jaden. Why would you go with stop smoking pot?
Just because it would help me out, get more things done, It gives you a little laziness.
Okay.
Oh, so you feel you'll be more productive if you're not smoking weed. Okay, now let me ask you part two of that question, which is, and this is a very important question that everybody has to grapple with when they make break a New Year's resolution, is now that you've already broken the resolution, does that mean it's off? You've got to wait till next December 31st to make that resolution again? Or are you going to try to start again on not smoking weed starting today?
I'm going to try again today. But we'll see how far
that goes. Yeah, that sounds commitment.
Come on. He doesn't sound committed to me.
No.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jane. We really appreciate it. How about you, Lisa? Any New Year's resolutions for you?
Yeah, I got pretty fudgy with my diet over the holidays,
You're eating clouds.
I know. So, but I stopped eating clouds and I started eating garlic bread and having wine and all this stuff. So, January 1st, it was.
Oh, I only look perfect, but I need to lose some weight.
No, it's for my health, Kevin.
Whatever.
So, no sugar, no alcohol, no caffeine. And so far, so good.
Is life worth living, though?
I had a meltdown yesterday, so I don't know yet. I mean, I really, I just lost my ass. So
is
I'm
that
hoping.
Good or bad?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. Hopefully, it will not keep happening. But
right,
it's hard.
1-800. That's what she said. 520-1067 is the phone number. You made a New Year's resolution and then didn't quite stick to it already. We'll take your calls next.
I think I see what the problem is from the Facebook posts and the Twitter and the email and the calls that we're getting is people are trying to give up stuff that's good.
Yeah, that's. It's always difficult.
That's what makes it so tough to stick to. Don't like this from a Mystical who writes in. I decided to go cold turkey and stop eating hot Cheetos. Fail. Broke it 5 minutes after midnight. They're my vice all the way. Don't give up the hot Cheetos then.
Yeah. You know what you like.
Right.
Yeah. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Uh-huh.
I just love hot Cheetos.
You
do. I love them so much.
There's got to be other ways you can improve your life without giving up the hot Cheetos. That's just asking too much for a person, I think.
Lose weight's number one. Exercise, number two. Quit smoking, number three. Quit drinking, number four. Seriously, quit drinking. Come on now. Get a new job. Get out of debt. Save money.
Those are all good ones.
Yep. Eat healthier. Get organized. That's pretty vague.
I wonder what the success rate is. And Terry, you hang on. We're coming to you in just 1 minute. I wonder what the success rate is on people who make resolutions for New Year's when the page turns on the calendar and you start a new year versus people who just wake up one day in June and think, you know what, I'm going to start eating better. I wonder if there's a higher success rate when it's attached to a New Year's resolution.
That's a good question. I have no idea.
I don't know, because that's what is funny about this, is that you have decided this is the day and you are going to fill in the blank, and then you blow it.
You're going to change your life.
And here, the obvious answer is one failure doesn't ruin it.
Right.
Keep trying. But usually for New Year's resolutions, they go, you know what? I had a hot Cheeto 15 minutes in, so forget it.
That's right. It's done for 2015 now. Yeah. All right. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number if you want to call and get on the Kevin and Bean Show and tell us about your broken New Year's Eve resolutions. Let's go to Tara. She's online, too. She's in Lakeview Terrace.
Hey, Tara.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you.
Happy New Year. How was your New Year's Eve?
Oh, it was wonderful. My boyfriend went to sleep at 8 o'clock.
Yes!
Yeah, and then I was all alone on the couch crying because my sister's opposite the country, and my family that was in the same city as me, they were all doing something else.
Hey, Tara?
And then, yeah.
We're sorry we asked.
I'm sorry.
I know this isn't the topic, but I think this is fascinating. So are you one of those people who succumbs to the pressure of it's New Year's Eve, so I'd better be doing something fun when the clock strikes 12?
I wanted to be with somebody. I didn't want to be alone with my dog on the couch.
Now, would it have bothered you, though, if it had been, you know, 3 days earlier or 3 days later, if it was just you and your dog on the couch and you'd gone to bed early?
No, I mean, like, kind of. I just didn't want to. It's New Year's. It's kind of like a special day.
Did you kiss your dog?
I tried to. He wouldn't.
Wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
He was afraid of the fireworks. Because he was afraid of the fireworks. People were setting off fireworks.
Tara has a rough life.
She does. All right. What was your resolution and when did you break it?
I didn't want to have any sugar in 2015.
All right. Let me just stop you right there. I mean, really? That's sort of impossible.
No, it's not impossible.
It's sort of
really hard.
At least for like maybe a month or something, you know, try to like be good. And I wanted to eat clean. And I've been really, you know, I've been saying forever, like every woman, every person in the world, I want to lose, you know, 20 pounds. I want to be fit. I want to try to eat clean. And it starts with your diet. So I was like, I'm not going to have any sugar. At least, you know, I'm not going to have any sugar. And then I was sad, and there's a box of cookies sitting right in front of me, and I said, F it.
F it is how you go.
When nobody wanted to have anything to do with you on New Year's Eve.
No, and then he wouldn't let me leave. He said, I don't want you driving. I don't want you to drive on New Year's. It's not safe.
I love the visual so much of Tara sitting on the couch just crying her eyes out and stuffing her face with chocolate chip cookies while her dog won't have anything to do with her, while her family won't have anything to do with her, her boyfriend won't have anything to do with her. It's like, welcome to the new year, huh?
Everyone wanted me to be with them, and I couldn't. It was really sad.
Yeah, sure.
No one wanted you to be with them. Tara, you're awesome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:50. I'd just like to ask a question, and that is there a statute of limitation on moments with? Because there should be.
What do you mean? You mean if it's not turned into a moment with within a certain amount of time, it shouldn't be
correct,
eligible
sir.
To be a moment with?
Yes, sir.
Who are you, the Bill Cosby of malaprops?
I'm going to have to look that up.
Trying to find some way out of this.
Here's what happened. We are back live here on January 5th, 2015, and I was listening to a clip that our friend Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Archive posted over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And within the clip was something that I couldn't believe we didn't turn into a moment with at the time, and I think it was from sometime last year.
But I'm saying if you guys missed it, you missed it.
I think that's fair, though. If it's something that wasn't turned into a moment with at the time, I think it's still eligible to be a moment with, as long as it's never been a moment with, right?
Sure.
Don't you think? And by the way, Kevin, you don't know that it's you.
I do.
It might not be you.
What are the chances? I had 8 out of the top 10 last year. Come on.
All right, let's hit the button.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Ralph is enjoying this too much, by the way.
I'm enjoying it. It's a public service. I feel like the guy who found out that, you know, what was that? Oh, never mind. I don't have time for me to figure out what I'm trying to say.
That was a moment with Ralph.
That was sweet. I love it. I'm glad we did it.
That was a good one.
Glad we did it.
All right.
Oh, now you're glad you did it.
Yes. Let's make some new moments with Ralph on Zero Sleep. Here he is with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning.
At least it was on acetate.
Yeah, that was bad.
He's that high quality wax cylinder.
It was not a clean recording.
I promised you at the end of the last Showbiz Beat that we would talk about the year 2015, which, of course, is the year that Marty McFly travels to along with his buddy Doc Brown in their DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Right.
Now, a lot of people put a moratorium on this conversation until the actual date, which is like October or something, 19th or whatever.
Like it really matters.
But I thought this was curious. BuzzFeed.com listed the 10 things in the movie Back to the Future that they promised we'd have by 2015. When Marty shows up, here's what he has. Here's what he gets to enjoy. And so it's 2015. We should be expecting these any day now. I'm
sorry. All right.
Okay. What did they promise?
Well, as you mentioned, Kevin, we talked about this before we said goodbye in the last hour. Hoverboards. Hoverboards were available, like skateboards, but no wheels. You just would hover over the cement as you pushed along.
And do we have that now?
Yes, we do.
Wow, I was not aware.
Do we have those?
We saw Tony Hawk do that in the video.
Flying cars. Flying cars were available in 2015.
Okay. Yeah,
nowhere near that.
Good, no.
Yeah. A power source that is fueled by everyday garbage. You just put your garbage back there and do a...
I don't think that exists
the engine
either.
And it fuels your car.
No. What else?
Vests.
Vests. We have vests.
We have vests. But vests and jackets that change the length of the sleeves according to the wearer and the smart clothes.
Oh.
Do we have smart clothes?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
How about phone glasses? You put glasses on, you can see the vision of someone in the glass, and you can see computer images in the glass.
We do have that.
Google Glasses.
Google Glass we have, right?
All right, one.
We have one. Holographic movie posters that change the image changes as you watch it to advertise a new movie coming out.
No.
Holographic, no.
They did that for Jaws 19 in the movie. You get to see the shark actually bite somebody. But
we have a few missing.
I have not seen that.
Okay.
No. Nor I've seen Jaws 19. Self-drying clothes. You push a button and your wet clothes immediately become dry.
Oh, that would be the best.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Nope. We do not have those. Automatic dog walkers.
I don't think so.
A machine that walks a dog for you.
No.
No, we don't have that. Power laces on your shoes. You put your shoes on, you hit a button, and it laces it up for you.
Well, that's the most important, first of all.
It is, because that pesky task of having to tie your shoes
can take almost 10 seconds.
Yeah, that is.
Don't have that.
No. Food hydrators. You put the freeze-dried food into the hydrator, and it puts moisture into it, and you've got a delicious meal.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
No.
Hmm.
So we're so finding out that
one thing.
Back to the Future effing blows. That's what we're finding out.
So the future ain't what it used to be is what we're finding out.
Meaning it's the future that they imagined is much better than the future that we ended up living in.
There you go.
Right.
Speaking of movies, you guys see the ant-sized trailer for Ant-Man? See the ant trailer?
It was sort of a...
It was an ant trailer for ants! An Ant-Man trailer that was ant-sized.
Yeah.
It was the size of an ant. It was a very small trailer.
That's
not even a trailer.
It was very hard to make it out.
It was sort of like some
images.
It was
a teaser trailer.
It was a teaser for the trailer, if that's possible.
But it was ant-sized, is what I'm telling you.
Right.
Then they released a full-size teaser for the Ant-Man trailer, and apparently that will be released tomorrow. We'll get to see that for real. It will be unveiled during the two-hour season premiere of Marvel's Agent Carter, which airs tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And by the way, in the second hour of that program, you may want to keep your eyes peeled for a dashing young actor who will be appearing in that episode.
Really?
Yes.
You're in Agent Carter?
I am. I'm in tomorrow's second half of the two-hour premiere of Agent Carter. I am in the very beginning of hour number two.
Now, it's Bobby!
It is not Bobby. It is not Bobby. No.
What is Agent Carter?
What is Agent Carter, Bean? That's an excellent question.
How does he fit into the Marvel Universe?
Well, first of all, it's a she, okay?
All right.
Peggy Carter's a woman.
Good start.
Not a he at all.
All right, how does she fit into the Marvel Universe?
Did you see a little movie called Captain America, the First Avenger?
No.
This is going to be a long conversation.
Let's have it tomorrow. Maybe we can learn more about Agent Carter and
maybe
Ant-Man
we can talk about
that.
And I can tell you a little bit about the role I will be playing in
yeah,
the
okay.
show.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. I like it.
So
that's exciting.
Ant-Man and Agent Carter.
Ant-Man.
Who is he and how does he fit in? Jeez.
Well, not everybody has a background in comic books.
I know, but
know
they've
these
been
characters
selling
are.
This series with Haley Atwell coming out for like 6 months now, for God's sakes. Am I seeing the pretty girl with the gun in the commercials?
I'm not going to be watching a lot of Fox.
I don't think
on ABC!
That must be why I keep missing it.
I don't think Bean watches a lot of the shows that they would advertise that in.
I don't. Like, I don't
mean,
watch the
ones that are on television.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't watch. Yeah, I don't
You're
watch.
Bad, though.
I, maybe I, it's possible that I'm bad, but I'm sorry, I just didn't. I thought there may be some other people listening who might be in my boat who might be curious for the answer to that question.
No,
but we'll wait till tomorrow.
You're in your own boat. You're in your dinghy by yourself.
And it's going down.
You have a solo dinghy, sir.
I just can't believe you're taking Ant-Man seriously. That's the thing that cracks me up.
Ant-Man's the best.
Is that you're pretending just because it's a comic book movie that it must be something we should see.
It's going to be awesome. That's all I'm telling you. And sad news over the holidays. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. But Ellie Mae Clampett passed away from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Donna Douglas. One of the all-time hotties back in the, you know, from those reruns we all watched as kids. She, Ellie Mae out there by the cement pond. Come on. I wish I had been one of her critters. You know what I'm saying? One of those raccoons she used to hand feed. You know
and
what
the
I'm
fact
saying?
That she was so dumb made her even hotter.
Yeah. She didn't know how hot she was. She used to wear, like, jeans and just a shirt tied around her waist, you know, one of those flannel shirts. She was like a tomboy, but she was way hot.
Yeah. I don't remember much of that, but I do know what you're saying, if that's what you're asking, if we know what you're saying. I do.
I don't know that I've ever watched the news. Well, he knew who Agent Carter was, so let's not
be
too harsh on our boy Kevin.
So Jethro is the only one who remains then, right, from the Beverly Hillbillies? He's the only guy still alive.
Are we still talking about that show?
I believe Jethro is the last remaining hillbilly, yes. That and Honey Boo Boo.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
It's Kevin right there again before he ordered his mac and cheese for dinner.
I don't watch the news. I don't feel like I'm alone in that. Come on.
I don't think many people are as proud of it as you are.
I just don't.
I'd like to be dumb. I avoid information at all costs. I don't watch news or read paper. I like Bing and Bubble.
I just don't watch the news. That's all.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Robert Duvall. Did you see The Judge? See yourself some Judge? Watch any of that Judge?
Didn't want it to. Good?
Oh, it's good. Yeah. It's a good movie. 84 years old today. Diane Keaton, 69. Marilyn Manson is 46 years old. Bradley Cooper currently can be seen in American Sniper. He's 40 years old. January Jones of Mad Men fame is 37 years old. And DJ Deadmau5 turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network recaps a very exciting weekend for us coming up in studio in about 10 minutes. First, though, give me that theme for Gotham, would you?
Yeah. Monday night today on Fox, an all-new Gotham as Detective Gordon reports for duty at Arkham Asylum. That's going to be tonight at 8 on Fox. Our friend Ben McKenzie is that Gordon, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Ben, welcome back, sir. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good, Ben.
Before we talk about the Gotham, did you really spend New Year's Eve in Miami with Pitbull?
Yeah, I mean, Pitbull and I weren't hanging out a lot one-on-one. But
Dolly!
I mean, we're old friends. We go way, way back. I did. The Fox had a party down. I was actually down there on my own with some friends, and I realized, or they realized that I was down there.
Oh, so you were just trying to take a little time off and enjoy the city for New Year's, and then they pressed you into working.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was fine. It was a great party, and we had a lot of fun. And, you know, Miami's not a bad place to be on New Year's. So, No. It was pretty fun.
I just laughed out loud trying to imagine the conversation between you and Mr. Worldwide. That's all.
I hear he's a lovely guy.
And a huge Gotham fan. I'm sure he's following the storyline, and he wants to know how Gordon's going to be as a guard at Arkham now.
Well, I'm pleased to report it's a good episode that airs tonight. And the show really gets, I think, stronger and stronger as we kind of figure out what it is. I think it's really easy when you start off, if people haven't seen it before, I think it often gets tagged with, like, well, it's a Batman show. But, of course, it isn't, because Bruce is 12 years old. He's just a kid. So it's really about, you know, my character and my partner, Harvey Bullock, and all of the villains that surround us, including, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, who plays Fish Mooney, and Robin Taylor, who plays the Penguin. And it's sort of about we're sort of figuring out how to tie in the villains with the case of the week, you know, as cops. And we're figuring that out, I think, pretty well. And so the second half of the season is even stronger, you know, than the first. So if you like the first, I think you're really going to like the second. And for people that haven't watched, it's, you know, I think it's pretty easy to get kind of caught up relatively quickly.
Ben, I'm a huge Batman fan, and that's the reason I initially tuned in. But you're right. I think the show is sort of finding its own feet, and it's leaning less on that mythology. And you guys don't even follow it that closely anymore. You're kind of your own unique animal now, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, we work with DC pretty closely, but because we're an origin story and we're 20 years before most of these characters really mature into the, you know, the adult villains, we're able to kind of play a little bit looser with the origins and, like, sort of focus on how these characters came to be and quite frankly, like, who their parents were, what the circumstances were in Gotham, the city, that created the chaos that ultimately manifests in, you know, Batman and all these people flying around in capes and whatnot.
Tell us about David, who plays Bruce Wayne, who I think is more mature than I have ever been, probably.
He's certainly more mature than I am. Yeah. I asked him what his favorite subject was at school, and he said math. And I thought, oh, well, we're pretty different.
He's lying. He's lying.
He is an absolutely lovely young man and a really terrific actor. It's very hard for any actor to actually listen to another actor on screen, because there's right in your eye line are about 50 people moving things and cameras and lights and, you know, sound guy with a boom mic in your face. And he has this incredible calm and kind of maturity, as you pointed out, and he's able just to sit there and listen and respond. It's really impressive. We're very lucky to have him.
And he's got an intensity that's kind of rare for a kid his age, too.
Yeah, real intense, real smart, sort of keeps to himself, but very, very sort of intuitively attuned to what's going on. I mean, he's a remarkable young man.
Seems like the biggest challenge had to have been to cast somebody that everybody can believe would grow up to be Batman.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, and to try to find that in a 12, 13-year-old young boy, I certainly wouldn't have qualified. you know, you're trying to find someone who really embodies the boy king, you know. Yeah. When his parents die, there's such a loss in the Gotham, in the world of Gotham, that everyone kind of leans in and says, is this kid going to become, you know, the king? Does he have what it takes? And if not, there's going to be a free-for-all. There's going to be sort of the chaos that is sort of starting to creep up on the show of all of these competing interests fighting over the city. The Waynes were sort of keeping the lid on top of the, you know, the kettle, or whatever the correct metaphor is.
Pot. I don't know. Who cares?
That's good. Lid and kettle works for me.
Yeah. The pot.
The crock pot. Let's call it a crock pot.
Well, basically with their death, it's a free-for-all, and everyone's also leaning into Bruce to see if he can actually, you know, take on the throne here. But you see in David that's possible. You know, if Jim Gordon screws it up, he can come in, and apparently I'm going to screw it up.
Well, this Arkham Asylum looks like no party. It looks like no fun for Gordon.
I beg to differ, because Miranda Baccarin works there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's right!
Positive. Yeah, that would make me take care of the lunatics if I could hang out with her for a little bit.
Yeah. People like Miranda Baccarin do not actually work in insane asylum.
No, they don't. No. Even though she claims to work in the woman's ward.
Yeah, exactly. she's a great addition to the second half of the season, and and you'll see it tonight, just the beginnings. But, you know, Gordon is kind of looking for kindred spirits who are willing to kind of fight the fight that he's fighting. And there's not a lot of people who are on his side, because obviously most of the characters in Gotham are sort of villainous. But he's got some friends in the GCPD, and now he'll have an ally in Dr. Tompkins, who works at the Insane Asylum and may not work there for very long.
This is the voice of Ben McKenzie here on the phone, by the way. We're talking about Gotham, which returns for the second half of its first season tonight at 8 on Fox. It's funny to think that there were question marks about whether this show was going to make it, if it was going to translate to TV before the thing aired. But what a satisfaction for you and the rest of the cast to see what a big hit it is in its first season, Ben.
Yeah, it's incredibly satisfying. And to be honest, we shared all of those concerns. And quite frankly, we shared them. You know, we were probably more terrified than anyone else, because of course it would have been my ugly mug splashed out there on a bad show if, God forbid, it didn't work out.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin Gotham.
No, you don't want to be on the Batman show that didn't work. Those Nolan films are pretty good. Maybe you don't want to sort of completely screw the pooch here. We wanted to sort of do something that was similar enough in tone to the worlds of the more recent Batman films, but different enough at the same time that we weren't sort of constantly having to be compared to the films. And quite frankly, it's impossible to live up to that, because the films are, you know, $200 million spectacles, and they have a year to shoot them and, you know, Academy Award winning actors in them. We have me and a week and, you know, a couple million bucks. So we needed to differentiate ourselves. And I think we've done that. A lot of it's the writing and the directing, and then some of it's the acting. But, you know, the style, the look, the feel of it is all similar but different, because it's about 20, 30 years before.
Mission accomplished, Ben. Nothing for you to apologize for. You guys are doing great work over there. We're almost out of time here. Ralph, do you have any other burning questions before we let Mr. McKenzie go?
Well, I'm just glad we're getting rid of that bitch of a girlfriend of yours, Barbara. Boy, she was a pain in the ass.
She's a downer, man.
You try to get her out of town to save her. Oh, no, she won't go. She comes back, screws everything up, and then she comes back, and then she leaves you, and she splits anyway. What a bitch.
Well, look, hey, she's found love in the arms of another lady.
Yes, she sure has.
Well, welcome.
And how do you compete with that?
You start hanging out with Morena Baccarin. That's what you do. So.
There you go. That's the best rematch.
See what happens, yeah.
Ben, we always appreciate your time when you come on to Kevin Beecham, man. We really enjoyed talking to you. Good luck on the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your support over the years.
Thank you, Ben. Bye. Tonight at 8 on Fox.
Monday mornings, we always look forward to this time when Andrew Siciliano stops by. He, of course, is the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday through Fridays at 3. First question, Mr. Siciliano. First of all, Happy New Year, sir.
Merry New Year to you as well.
First question is, now that the NFL has decided that the Cowboys are in it, who will they be playing in the Super Bowl in February? Has that been determined? Have they picked their AFC team yet?
Come on!
All right, now, I missed the Dallas game. Tell me what happened.
The Cowboys won.
Yes.
That's all that matters, right?
Bean?
That's not all that matters, but it is a significant plank in the legend that is Tony Romo. He at least gets a little bit of that I always flop in the playoffs off of his back.
I wish we didn't have to talk about this, but here's what happened.
Let me ask you guys a question before you tell us what happened.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Why is there so much emphasis put on you can't win in the playoffs? Because by the time you get to the playoffs, you're playing good teams.
Right, but the Cowboys had not made them since 2009.
Really? So
There's only a couple of things that were consistent in America the last 5 years. Death taxes and the Cowboys going 8-8.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it is a tradition of mediocrity unlike any other for the last 5 years.
And Tony Romo had not won a playoff game before, right?
He's won one. Yeah, now he's won this one. And
listen to Bean, though. It was given to him.
When last we saw the Cowboys in the playoffs, Tony Romo was dropping. He was the holder. You know, and it didn't go well. Seattle. Look, the Cowboys won, and that's all people are going to remember. They're going to remember the fact that this call didn't go the Lions' way. The Lions were pounding on the Cowboys early in the game. Dallas then gets back into it under their own power and without any shadiness. With about 8 minutes to go, the Lions get a pass interference call.
Against them, they're on defense?
No. They're on offense. So they get a pass interference call against a linebacker, Anthony Hutchins, on a 3rd and 1. It's around the Dallas 30. The flag is thrown. They announce pass interference. They put the ball on the 29-yard line. The Lions are keeping this drive alive. They have the lead. They're going for the death blow.
Automatic first down.
Automatic first down. Spot foul. Let's go. Then the officials decide they're going to pick up the flag and say there's no penalty.
Okay. And that's unusual, right, Andrew?
So it's not unusual to pick up a flag. It usually happens at least once a game. What is unusual is that the penalty was announced.
Right.
The ball was placed, albeit briefly, on the 29 at the spot of the foul. And then they got together and said, we're going to pick up the flag.
So most of the time, if a flag is thrown and a ref disagrees, they go talk about it, and then maybe they pick up the flag and say, there was no penalty.
Exactly.
Let's move on.
It's a buddy system, and this year they actually have the headsets on, so they can talk to each other without having to run 30 yards from the other side of the field to huddle. Except this time they called the penalty and then discussed it.
And I'm sure they showed every angle in slow motion what actually
occurred. It was pass interference.
It was.
It was.
And, Andrew, was there any significance, because they kept mentioning this on the broadcast, to the fact that the Dallas player, what is it, Hutchins, did not turn around to even see the ball, right?
Okay, so there's a difference between college football and the NFL. There's an old term, face guarding, which any old 60, 70-year-old football fan will always scream, it's face guarding. There is no face guarding in the NFL. Face guarding means if you're running down the field to catch a pass and I'm defending it, if I put my hands up and never turn back towards the quarterback or the ball, that's legal, right? Like a guy guarding you in basketball.
Right.
I don't have to turn around to see the rest of the play. If I'm waving my hands in front of you, that's legal as long as I'm not touching and grabbing you. But if I don't turn my back and I touch and grab you, that is definitely a penalty. The other official, however, who claimed he had a better angle, said, yes, he's waving his arms, and yes, he didn't turn around and look at the ball, but no, there wasn't enough contact to warrant the penalty. Now, there's one other thing here, is that Dez Bryant, the often emotional Cowboys wide receiver. Remember, the Cowboys defense was on the field. This was in front of the Cowboys sideline. He's on the Cowboys offense and on the bench without a helmet. As soon as the flag was thrown, he didn't like the initial flag. He runs onto the field to argue with the officials. He's not supposed to be on the field.
That's a penalty,
and,
right?
And he certainly isn't supposed to come off the bench without a helmet on.
And he wasn't penalized for that.
He was not penalized. Now, that is up to the discretion of the officials. You can't say, hey, calm the you-know-what down and get back over there, which is evidently what they did. So there could have been multiple penalties on the Cowboys.
That changed the fortune of the game.
It didn't change the game because there were still 8 minutes left. However, it was a very significant turning point in the game. It should be noted that after that, the Lions punt. The Lions punter then booted the ball 10 yards. Okay? If the Lions.
I can do that.
If you could, actually, with a bowling ball.
Yeah.
If the Lions punter, Sam Martin, actually did his job and maybe dropped it inside the 10, then the Cowboys have 95 yards to go, maybe.
Right.
Not 59 yards to go for a touchdown. It's a
which
much
they,
different
which they did
game.
Do to take the lead, Kevin.
And the Lions got the ball back still.
Look, here's all I know, and football is a very complicated game with a lot of very specific rules that I don't pretend to understand. So I just basically, whatever Mike Pereira says is what I agree with. And he thought it was a disastrous call that they called that flag
back. Pereira's the former head of officiating. We all love him. We all respect him.
He's the guy they always go to, and he's always right.
And he was in the building. He was in the booth with Joe and Troy yesterday. So he was in the booth, and he said, you hear him say, wow.
That's not what you want.
And listen. All these people out there that want to say, oh, it's fixed for the Cowboys. Listen, if it was fixed for the Cowboys, why isn't Ndamukong Suh playing? Why did he win his appeal on Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever it was last week, for stepping on Aaron Rodgers a week ago? Why did he win his appeal, and why do they let the Lions put their best defensive player out there?
Because you make it more believable if you have a couple of things going against
the
Cowboys.
Okay, so you're gonna drag you along until 8 minutes in the game and then throw the flag.
What do you say about the head of officiating for the NFL and his close relationship with Jerry Jones, being on the party bus and all that kind of stuff?
I think that is the biggest non-story ever.
No relation.
Seriously.
You know what?
If you had to put a black mark on every member of the media that had ever stepped on the Cowboys party bus, none of us would be on the air.
All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, the biggest story in sports is that you lost to Brad Williams in ping pong.
Yeah!
Okay.
We'll take a break.
There's a story behind
that. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Andrew Siciliano in studio with us. Of course, during the season, you know him as the host of DirecTV's The Red Zone and year-round around the NFL and the NFL Network at 3 in the afternoon. Look, we want to talk about the other three wild card games over the weekend. But first, Kevin, you had quite the tease as we went into the break there.
Yeah, thanks for that.
That Andrew was playing ping pong with our little midget friend Brad Williams over the weekend. And lost.
Brad's pretty athletic. I'll give him that, by the way.
He is. We've seen him do push-ups. He's pretty impressive.
Can we explain?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah,
all right.
Ahead.
So it was Dave's birthday party, right?
King of Mexico.
King of Mexico's birthday party. Uh-huh. And it was a party fit for a king, certainly.
Sure.
And their ping pong tables were downtown at the with the Standard. And so we start to play ping pong. Brad.
I feel like we're not going to have time for this full story.
I'll make it fast.
Okay.
When you play Brad in ping pong, mm-hmm. I was in a no-win because I don't know. I mean, how hard am I supposed to hit the ball, first of all?
Because he's a midget?
Well, you're not playing against a little kid. He's an adult.
I understand
you go for
that,
it.
But I mean,
he's got skills, man.
And that was where I underestimated.
He's got skills.
I laid back at first. Because I'm thinking, how is this supposed to play out?
By the way, the exact same conversation was going on in his head about you.
Okay.
As you are about his height.
So we're playing to fish. Shut up. I am not his height.
I said
you know
about.
What? Let's go outside.
About.
All right. So it's 13 to 9 or something. He's beating me. And then all of a sudden I went, this is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
What the is going on here? So he eventually won that one, and then I said, this is not happening again, and the next one I beat him 15-3 or whatever it was. And in the next game, where I decided this is not happening again, I did feel horrible because at one time I slammed it and it went right off his forehead. It hit the table. I won the point. And one of those ones, you know, hit it right at him,
yeah.
And it hit the table, and boom, right off his forehead.
Well,
and I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad
now
guy.
Now you're the bad guy.
Because I slammed
match.
It. We didn't do the rubber match.
No
I
rubber
left.
Match.
There will be no rubber match. To quote Apollo Creed, there ain't going to be no rematch.
There will be a rubber match, and we will film it for KevinDeBean.com. That's what's going to happen.
Shut up.
All right, let's get back to the weekend. Wild card weekend, always a lot of fun. Let's talk about the juggernaut that is Kevin's Arizona Cardinals,
oh, yeah.
Who at one time were 9-1, and every week we came in here, didn't we? And Kevin would tell us how the road to the Super Bowl was going through his Cardinals.
Yeah, I was always joking when I said that because
sure you were.
I was. Because the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. And we have guys playing quarterback I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And then they get hurt, and then another guy I've never heard of comes in.
You went through Carson Palmer, you went through Drew Stanton, and then you had this guy, what was his name?
Ryan Lindley,
right?
Yeah. Who's a nice guy.
Sure.
Bad game, though. Bad game.
And I feel, for the record, the Super Bowl will still be played in the Cardinals building. That has not changed. It'll still be in Glendale. I feel bad for them, though, and I feel bad for Cardinal fans, and I feel bad for Ryan Lindley, because that team is good enough to win. And Ryan Lindley,
yeah, but they got 78
to be nice,
yards, which
is not good enough to play and lead that team to win.
That's
and the 78 yards of offense,
total offense,
was the worst performance by an offense in the 95-year history of the NFL.
That's quite a record to
never
break, isn't
before
it?
The previous worst performance had been 86 yards by the 1958 Cleveland Browns against the New York Football Giants.
We smashed that stupid record.
And you smashed that thing by like a good 10%. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And three turnovers for the Cardinals, too, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, twice, amazingly, they had the ball in the red zone in the fourth quarter with a chance to make it a one-score game. Carolina let them hang around.
Yeah.
They let them hang around.
They said, go ahead, take it if you want it.
The game could have been 50-0. I mean, it could have been Oregon-Florida State at the Rose Bowl. It was not.
Yeah.
They let them hang around, which does not bode well for going to Seattle next weekend.
But you got to feel good if you're a Cardinals fan that this team has turned the corner and that you could really legitimately be excited for next season.
Oh, you should be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And look, you were last year as well when they won 10 and didn't make the playoffs because you knew they were there. And then their quarterback got hurt, and then their other quarterback got hurt, both, by the way, knocked out by the Rams. And then, boom, you had nothing. Ryan Lindley was on the Chargers practice squad. Right? He got a call because he was there a couple of years ago. Hey, we really need some help.
Hey, dude, did you used to play quarterback?
Yeah, and listen, he's going to get all the blame, and I guess he deserves a lot of it, but he was in a position. He was in a bad situation.
Let's move on. I'm tired of talking about the Cardinals.
Sorry.
All right, quickly, let's talk some AFC.
Yes.
Is it my imagination, or do the Bengals always get eliminated in the first round of the playoffs?
No, it is not your imagination. They have not won a playoff game 1970, I believe.
Wow.
No? I don't remember. It's bad. It's
been a long time.
It's
certainly in recent years, they've lost them all, right?
Yes. No, it's not 1970. I take that back. Boomer Esiason was the last quarterback.
He played in the 60s?
No, he played in the 80s.
Okay.
He was the last Bengals quarterback to win a playoff game. And Marvin Lewis, their coach, has 100 career victories. None of them have been in the postseason.
Okay.
Andy Dalton has never won a game. They've gone four straight years. He's taken them to the playoffs four straight years, and they have lost in the first round all four years.
They also hit Andrew Luck when he looked great, too. He had a great game.
Look, they went in there without A.J. Green, their number one receiver, without Jermaine Gresham, their number one tight end, two of the best in the business at their respective positions, and they were not good.
All right, and finally...
We should mention he's a ginger.
Yeah, something against redheads? I think redheads are kind of hot.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
Fourth game of the weekend was the destruction of the Steelers. What can you say about Joe Flacco, except as I think you so succinctly tweeted it over the weekend, Andrew, all he does is win.
That's all he does is win playoff games, actually. He's won more road playoff games than any quarterback in the history of this league.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pretty – now, granted, the playoffs have expanded, and there are more games to win. But, they were awful. Okay, so the Ravens have beaten only two teams all year that ended the season with winning records. Only two.
Wow.
And both of them were the Steelers.
Wow.
They did it twice.
They owned them.
They went in there and they did it. Now, the Steelers didn't have the best running back in the AFC, but it doesn't matter. And now the Ravens go to New England, and they've won up there. They've won two out of three against Bill Belichick.
All right, so Saturday there's two games. Sunday there's two games.
Yes, sir.
We're narrowing it down. We're heading for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Rams.
Yeah, what about them?
They're building the stadium.
So here's what the Rams
Hollywood
did this morning.
Park.
All right, so how long has it been? It's been since 94, right? And so we've been sitting here since 94 saying, yeah, sure, I'll believe it when I see it,
right.
It being a team coming back here.
Right.
We've had how many plans where we thought it was a done deal?
Well, pretty much every year.
Pretty much every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is pretty spectacular.
It's as close to a done deal as we've ever had.
Well, look, Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, who also owns the Colorado Avalanche, the Denver Nuggets.
Wow.
The
he's a hell of a tight end.
By the Avalanche, the Nuggets, the MLS team, the Rapids up there. He also owns this little team in England called Arsenal.
Yeah.
Wow. So he just picked one from every column of sports available.
Basically. Did I mention Arsenal?
You did.
So he's the second richest owner in the NFL behind Paul Allen.
Wow.
He can build whatever he wants with his own money. And
right.
That's basically what he has announced. He had, and we knew this now for over a year, 60 acres of land at Hollywood Park. 60 acres isn't really enough to build a stadium.
He bought that like a year ago, right?
Right.
Okay.
Correct. The announcement today is that he has partnered with the development company that owns and has the rest of the land there. And they are now partners.
Okay.
And so we'll take my 60 acres and we'll take your land. We are building a stadium.
Right next to the Forum.
We are building a stadium at Hollywood Park,
okay.
Right there, and we're going to do it. And I own a football team, by the way, in St. Louis. So
I sure could make a lot more money if they were in Los Angeles.
And
so has he come out and said, I'm bringing the Rams to Los
Angeles? He has not
just
done that
building
at
the stadium.
All. He said he is building a stadium there. And now it's kind of a... We'll see how the league reacts. The league has reacted by saying no team is moving without 2/3 approval of the owners. You need 20, or rather 3/4. You need 24 to 32.
And that's normal?
That's normal.
Okay.
And nothing has changed. No team will be there in 2015. Obviously, the stadium's not going to be built in time. But no team will temporarily move here this coming season and play the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum. That's not going to happen yet.
Okay.
If this happens, it'll be in 2016. But this is a game changer because there is no public money involved here. This is not, we need a referendum.
That's what the hang-up was this whole
time.
Well,
I mean, it's always a hang-up with any team in any city in any sport. But this is a game-changer because you have an owner saying, I have the land, and I have the money, and I'm going to start digging. Once I get my environmental study back, I'm building it.
Right.
I'm building it.
And I wouldn't think that most NFL owners would have any reason to vote against a team moving to Los Angeles.
Well,
with the exception of maybe some teams in California.
Look, you have three teams here. The Rams, the three teams that have all played here and all called Los Angeles home, all have an interest in being here again. The Raiders have a year-by-year lease. Their lease is up. Right? The Chargers have had for a number of years a window every spring to get out. The Chargers announced a couple of weeks ago they're not going to, but the league had told the three teams you're not moving this year anyway.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's the Rams. The Rams are here for 50 years. Let's not forget that. So all three have an interest in being here. All three have fans here. All three have ties here. All three have bad stadium situations. So the question is, which ones get here? And there has always been a thought, well, maybe the league will own the building. The league can build a building.
Sure. But they didn't. So now we have an owner who's building.
Okay. Now we have an owner who says, I'm going to do it. Right. And it's intriguing, let me put it that way.
Anyone but the Raiders, that's what I say.
Well, the Raiders still have plenty of fans here.
Yes, they
plenty.
Do.
Plenty. I mean, you want automatic ticket sales.
Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Around the NFL airs on the NFL Network Monday through Friday at 3 with our friend Andrew Siciliano. Happy New Year. Let us know when you want to reschedule the ping pong with Brad. We'll make it happen.
I'll do it anywhere. It's just no film. No tape. There will be no tape.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
I'm just saying your Eagles should have paid off the right NFL officials, and you'd be playing next weekend
apparently,
instead of the Cowboys.
Guess so.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to face anybody in the NFC with the
that's a tough
Mark Sanchez at quarterback, quite frankly. I wasn't that upset that we didn't get in the playoffs because we were going to get our ass kicked by either the Packers or the Seahawks or one of those.
That's it's tough at this point. That's what I was thinking about watching these teams that won. I thought, oh, great, you just won a game. Now you got to go to New England and play them or whoever was next. It doesn't get any easier from here, that's for sure.
The refs better call everything Dallas's way at Lambeau. Against Aaron Rodgers and that team.
Still
in the
may
cold.
Not help.
They would just turn their backs. Just you guys do whatever you want. We're only going to penalize the Packers. And maybe they'll get within a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts.
Good times. All right. Monday morning on the Kevin Devine Show. Our man Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know what else is good times? Being Leonardo DiCaprio.
Always.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's given up the clubs. He doesn't go to the clubs anymore to meet the hot chicks.
Okay.
You know what he does now is he just invites them to his private party beach in St. Bart's in the Caribbean.
It is rare to see a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio anymore where he doesn't have at least a half a dozen Victoria's Secret models with him as a posse.
You got to see these photos. Go to TMZ.com. They've got him. You can see him elsewhere on the web as well. But it is Leo on his private beach at St. Bart's, which, by the way, has a staff of five.
He owns
it. It's only accessible by boat.
Okay.
And it's him with his giant homeless beard and his gut and his vape pen and about 100 smoking hot chicks in bikinis just sitting around him. It looks like a most interesting man in the world commercial.
He really, more than any other movie star, lets himself go between movies.
I don't know. Maybe this is for a movie. I don't know. Maybe because he's also that guy, too. It's like he's very De Niro-esque in terms of giving up everything for his character and stuff. So I don't know whether he's preparing for a film or just has no real concern for hygiene any longer. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but it hasn't cramped his style at all when it comes to the ladies. The pictures are laughable.
Yeah.
Because it's just a bunch of hot chicks in bikinis and him just sitting there sucking on his vape pen.
Let me ask you guys this question for speculation, please. If especially I want to hear from you, Lisa. What's in it for these ladies, by the way? Look, I understand you want to be with Leonardo DiCaprio, but if you're one of a dozen girls that follows Leonardo DiCaprio around, is that any fun?
It must be. Maybe he pays for everything and it's just a good time, but who's to say that you're not going to step up and be the first girl?
Doesn't cost you anything. You get to party on a beach.
Seems pretty private.
I would like to open up the phone lines and do one of our famous phone topics to talk to women who love hanging out with famous dudes and ask them why. What is the attraction?
Well, I mean, I understand if you're the famous dude's girlfriend and that involves, you know, flying off to exotic locations and getting bought lots of gifts. But if you're just one of a dozen that's just hanging out on a beach, it just doesn't seem like it's that much fun. I don't know.
Sounds pretty fun to me.
But here's my thing about parties like this in general and Hollywood parties and stuff in general is that it really is just food and booze and music wherever you go.
Right.
That when you distill it down to that, that's what you're getting, right? So okay. To be drinking the drink and eating the food and listening to the music in that room where that guy's also in the room, what's the upside there? Why do people want to be at the party where the famous person is, just to be in the same room as the famous person? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I wouldn't guess it's just to be in the room with the famous person. I would guess they get food and drink in that beach, and they get beautiful. It's a great location, and
but you're missing my point. I'm talking about the general phenomenon of this conversation. Yeah. I wanted to have where we open up the phones and talk to people. It's like, what? Why do you think, Kevin, they pay these C-grade, Z-grade, D-grade celebrities big money in Vegas to be at a nightclub just to be there? They paid them $250,000 just to be at a table to get people to go into that building, into that room, to be in that room because that other person is there. What's the upside there? Why do people want to just be there?
That I don't know.
Where that celebrity is.
Yeah, how is your party in Vegas any better because Paris Hilton is standing behind the table?
Right, exactly. How does that benefit you? What's the attraction for going into a party? Now, this is different.
If you're
one of a dozen girls on a St. Bart's Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio, and he knows your name, and you're getting service and stuff, that's a different kind of get-together. But I'm talking about the fame game in general, where people just want to be where that person is.
Yeah.
Always, I think that's always perplexed me.
We'll take some calls.
Because I'd rather in a bar for half the price with people that I know and like, and laughing and having a good time with my buddies than I would to be in one of those crowded rooms just because some famous person is in there.
I used to go to those, Grammy after parties and Oscar after that kind of stuff. And you wait in line for a long time just to get inside. And I finally did realize these parties sort of suck.
Right, and what's the payoff?
Unless you're that person.
Sure, of course. If you're the famous person.
So I'd rather go to a bar and hang out with my friends.
Right.
Yeah. But it took me a while. I sort of just figured out.
Tons of people are desperate to get into that place, to be in that room.
I think they think it's going to be better. I don't know. We'll take calls.
But why is it better?
It isn't. But they don't know that.
But why would they even guess that it's better? Simply because a famous person is in there, something magic happens?
Dude, I don't know. Got me.
Well, I don't know, man.
I don't know either, man. You know?
I really don't know.
All right.
All I know is Bill Cosby continues to do stand-up.
What?
How can he still do stand-up?
Is he still getting gigs?
How does that happen? Yes. Well, here's the thing, and I didn't realize this, but it makes sense. For instance, he'll be in Canada this week performing at the Centre in the Square in Toronto on Wednesday, and then Ontario's Budweiser Gardens on Thursday. Yeah, these venues have almost released a tantamount to apologies, saying we're contractually obligated to have him perform.
Isn't that true?
Many of these contracts were signed and drawn up before the allegations were made.
Oh, interesting.
So
they don't have any legal.
They don't have any really legal recourse. You know, he hasn't been accused of a crime or anything. I mean, how do you break a contract just because something's sort of distasteful to you? You know. So I guess for legal reasons, they have to allow him to play. Now, whether people will show up or not, I guess that remains to be seen. But there are already several women's groups to say they plan major
protests
outside the venue, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I would, if you're him, don't you just stop going and performing?
I would think he would go into hiding for
I just disappear.
Because I would imagine you'd get screamed at most places you went.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing anyone who pays for a ticket and goes to see him wants to see him, but still, I wouldn't do it.
Same.
Take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. DJ Deadmau5 is 34 years old today. January Jones turns 37. Bradley Cooper's 40. Marilyn Manson's 46. Diane Keaton turns 69. And actor Robert Duvall turns 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All this week, keep listening to K-Rock to win two-day VIP passes to Shaun White's Air and Style, which is coming to the Rose Bowl in February, plus a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. This Air and Style, Kevin, sounds like it's all about you.
Does sound cool.
Snowboarding, skiing, skating competitions, two stages of music featuring Steve Aoki, Diplo, Edward Sharp, and the Magnetic Zeros, Fantagram, Portugal the Man, so much more. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. And your chance to win coming up this half hour on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank God the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland exists, because they're doing very important work, and that is they're getting birds drunk, and then they're studying them.
Aw, that seems bad.
Now, I didn't realize until this article came out that scientists do not understand how alcohol affects our speech. I guess we all know that it does affect our speech, but what they're trying to figure out is how does it work? Why does drinking alcohol affect the way you speak after you're drunk?
I'm going to play as much of this scientist as I can.
Yeah, I thought he was dynamic.
And then you tell me when you've heard enough, because it gets old pretty quick. It's NPR.
I will play for you a normal song from a zebrafinch recorded on July 25th at 1:54 in the afternoon. Zebrafinch songs are a series of repeated motifs, with each motif consisting of several syllables. Next, this same bird, recorded at the same time of day, but a few days later, after it had been drinking 6.5% alcohol, his blood ethanol content was 54 milligrams per deciliter.
Sounds the same to me.
That's exactly the same to me. Who is this doctor, by the way? And does he have a podcast I can subscribe to?
It's the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland.
All right. Well, let's find out. I guess I'm not smart enough to see the difference between those two, but apparently we do have somebody on the line from the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. Hello there, sir. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, Kevin and Bean here.
Hello. Hi, Kevin and Bean's here.
Who is this, please?
I am a finch.
You're one of the finches. You're one of the finches in the study.
You're a zebra finch?
I am one of the finches in the study of the Oregon Research.
Right.
Health and Science University.
Health,
right, yeah.
And Science University.
University, right. Sounds like you've been continuing to drink some of that alcoholic juice cocktail since they did the study.
What are you laughing about?
Hey, you're right. I have been more having some more of the juice cocktail.
Right.
Huh. And it is, I think I will also in the future.
Now, does it seem ethical to you for us to give birds and other animals alcohol?
I don't know Ethel, but I think she would like to have some of this because I enjoy it very much.
Now, the scientists did say they weren't sure that you would drink it on your own, that they might have to try and give it to you, but that you took right to it. It was no...
Well, they did not take right to it. He had to hang out the piñata and put out some hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
And then it was a punch bowl. And then we had the right atmosphere when the party began.
It was a holiday party, as I understand.
It was a holiday party! Yes, that's exactly what it was! Because finches love holidays.
I was not aware of that.
The most festive of birds. A lot of people think it's the partridge, because the partridge is in the pantry.
Uh-huh.
But the finches freaking love Christmas and New Year's.
Wow, this is something else.
Wow.
Now, it obviously affects your speech, but does the alcohol affect your ability to fly?
It does. First of all, call me Peter.
Peter Finch?
Yes.
Okay.
I flew back home after the party.
Okay.
And I hit a window.
Right.
That I thought was open, but
right.
It was not open.
Happens all the time.
It was a glass window.
Right. That's sad. That must be upsetting when that happens to you.
But, yeah, but I thought it was so funny this time. I laughed, and then I had to call Uber.
They have Uber for zebra finches?
Yes, they have bird Uber.
Huh.
Called Boober.
Have another one.
Don't you have another one? Asshole.
Hey, take it easy.
You take it
We're
easy.
We're just trying to find out information about the scientific study.
I'll fight you all right now.
God, I missed that band. That's so good. My Chemical Romance. The world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Hey, and Ralph is here with our last look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
I was hanging out with Gerard Way this week, too.
You were?
Yeah.
Really? Is he in the movie?
He's not, but he's, I believe he may be doing some music for the film.
Oh, cool.
Because I know he did some music for Tusk, Kevin Smith's previous film.
Tell people what you're talking about.
And so he came by the set of, Kevin Smith is filming his latest film, a film called Yoga Hosers, and over the holiday I was filming that with him. I've got a role in the movie. And so we were on the set, and Gerard stopped by, and he's a great guy. We were hanging out and chatting, and we had a good time. But just that song made me think of him.
Just you and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp and I were working together, yes. Sure. Got to hang out with Johnny Depp.
Until
and
3 o'clock this morning.
Lily Rose Depp, his lovely and talented daughter, and Harley Quinn Smith, who's Kevin Smith's daughter, is also one of the stars of the film. And so we were hanging out for a week and a half. We've been shooting the film. Just finished the film. And by just finished, I mean 3 o'clock this morning is when I wrapped. And I've been up for about 28 hours now.
Yes. You need a vacation.
So this is... bound to be a good showbiz beat.
He's tanned, he's rested, he's ready.
He's pale, he's pasty, he's poisoned. Let me give you something. A pair of passes to the very special K-Rock screening of a new movie called Black Hat.
Yay! I love that with James Spader, and he goes and turns himself into the CIA.
Blacklist.
No, be Blacklist. Helps
him catch all those dangerous criminals. Blacklist. He's really just trying to make money for himself.
Blacklist.
It's good stuff.
Not this is same. Called Black Hat. Stars Chris Hemsworth. You may know him as Thor. Viola Davis is also in the film. Story of a man who's released from prison to help the American and Chinese authorities pursue a mysterious cyber criminal who has hacked into Sony Pictures' mainframe and made them not show the interview.
That's not true.
No, not true at all.
No.
But it is a cyber thriller. If you'd like to see this film, we are having a very special K-Rock screening on Tuesday, January the 13th, and the movie is in theaters everywhere Friday, January the 16th. So call now if you'd like to go. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers through get a pair of passes to go see Black Hat.
Great cast.
It is a good cast. From Black Hat to Black Keys, drummer Patrick Carney of the Black Keys hurt himself on vacation. He was swimming on the island of St. Bartholomew on Saturday, also known as St. Bart's, when a giant wave slammed his body into the ocean floor. Ow.
Yeah, that hurts.
I guess he was doing a little body surfing. He got caught up in the wave, and it crashed him to the sand, and he dislocated his shoulder.
Oh,
that hurts.
That does hurt.
He had it reset at a local hospital. He's been released, but he has tweeted that he's still in a lot of pain and probably will be until those ligaments and muscles get back to where they should be. But he expects to make a full recovery. Sadly, he may not be able to say the same about our friend Bono.
What?
Bono may never be able to play the guitar again.
Wow.
That's what he posted on U2's website. It's the first time he's really said anything about the bicycle accident in New York Central Park on November the 16th.
Is it damaged into his elbow?
Well, it's not just that. He did a lot of damage, more than anyone thought. He did it in the... he broke his shoulder in three places, shattered his left arm in six places, and broke a bone near his left eye.
He's lucky to have the use of that arm.
Yeah, he really is. Various plates and screws had to be put in. He has a reconstructed titanium elbow. And he said he may not even be well enough to head out on U2's 2015 World Tour.
Wow.
Which is supposed to begin on May the 14th in Vancouver. So he has said he's rapidly trying to get as healthy as he can. He's pushing his rehab as hard as he can to try to be ready for that date. That's his goal. But sadly, he said he may not be able to play guitar again, which would be a bummer.
Yeah, I think he writes a lot of songs that way.
He does.
They don't really count on his guitar in shows,
no,
although he does play.
No, not so much, but yeah. Sometimes, yeah. And while we're doing some music news, congratulations. Sorry, Dave, the King of Mexico. Paramore singer Hayley Williams got engaged over the New Year's holiday. She will tie the knot with Chad Gilbert of Newfound Glory. So there's a musical relationship made in heaven.
They white.
Yes.
That's true.
To the best of my knowledge, they both are indeed white. Tonight, The Bachelor returns. Oh, The Bachelor. How I've missed you.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
19th season begins tonight.
But you're off now.
Oh, I'm on.
Just like with American Idol, there's a novelty factor at first, but then you realize it's the same thing every year. So now you don't have to watch.
Oh, and there's a new twist.
You've seen it.
This new twist is going to make these 30 bachelorettes just that much crazier.
No!
You know, the opening night, they get out of the limo and he meets the girls and they all have the lovely cocktail party. At the end of the cocktail party, he's going to send 8 of them home. 8 of them.
That's going to be bonkers.
Competition's going to be
awesome. By the way, the nice premiere is just 3 hours. So.
Oh, my God.
Make sure you tune in. Make sure you tune in for the 3 hours.
Nope. So if he eliminates 8 of them on the first episode, that means the African-American contestants only get on the first episode,
right? How
Because they're always the first one sent home. Always. You. Every season.
You dare how?
Can I go back?
Donald Sterling.
Can I go back to when you said it was 3 hours? That was a... You misspoke, right? You said it was 3 hours.
But it goes by like this. Boom.
So you meant 3 hours.
I did mean 3 hours.
Wow. You're not even going to watch that, Ralph. There's no way you're going to watch that.
You just watch me watch it, watcher.
You're so tired.
You're so tired.
I'm going to go for the record.
Stay up?
Yeah, I'm going to stay
all
up.
All night?
So you're going to come in tomorrow morning. You still haven't slept.
Right.
You've sure seen a lot of Bachelor.
I've seen The Bachelor. And then tomorrow night is, of course, the premiere of Agent Carter.
Oh, he's good.
It's not a he. It's a she. It's a Peggy Carter, who, of course, was Captain America's girlfriend in the Captain America movie before he disappeared, that damn Red Skull.
Okay.
But now it's the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D. She, along with Howard Stark, Tony Stark's dad, combine their forces, and they pretty much invent the secret organization S.H.I.E.L.D. to fight the Nazis.
And this is an hour, too? Is it an hour as well?
2 hours. Tomorrow night,
premiere,
2 hours.
But regular.
Premiere.
Okay.
Ordinarily an hour.
Okay.
2 back-to-back episodes tomorrow night, and in the beginning of the second episode, keep your eyes peeled for a talented young actor who's playing a radio announcer.
Would we know him?
You would know him. Because you'll hear something like this. Meanwhile, Captain America.
Is that your line?
I have more lines, but I've been up for 48 hours.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a TV show that's on Fox right now. This is going to be...
ABC.
Oh, it's on ABC. Okay, so this is going to be an origin story of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's going to be running concurrent with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually running?
No. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now is on hiatus. It's on their mid-season hiatus.
But this new show is about the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, and it's like an 8-episode miniseries
that
will air. And then when that is concluded, then the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns.
Can't wait for that. I love that show.
I love that show, too. And if they say this Agent Carter is just amazing. So.
And Ant-Man is one of the agents?
Too much information, man.
We're going to have a long conversation tomorrow. Ant-Man trailer comes out tomorrow.
How exciting.
I know. And it won't be ant-sized. It'll be regular sized.
So this is an ant?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Turns into a man?
Actor Robert Duvall is 84 years old today. Actress Diane Keaton turns 69. Marilyn Manson's 46. Bradley Cooper, Philadelphia's own, turns 40 years old today. January Jones is 37. And DJ Deadmau5, 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning. We have 2-day VIP passes for Shaun White's Error and Style, which is February 21 and 22 at the Rose Bowl. Plus, you get a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. You can go to the website for more information. We also have a certain person by the name of Sarah Shahi on the program tomorrow.
A person by the name of Sarah Shahi. It's a good clue.
So
I can't figure
She's
out
on
who it is.
TV show Sarah Shahi. She plays Shaw.
Person. Is there any interest in this person that you're describing?
Is she an agent?
The name of the show is...
Does she know Agent Carter?
Person of interest?
Oh, person of interest.
Yeah.
Sarah Shahi.
Talk to her tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.